Radio Prague News.
As many as 10,000 students march in Prague to protest the government's education reform proposals. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas agrees to consult with students over the proposed reforms, and two people have been injured in a truck collision with a passenger train. Around 7,000 student protesters marched in the centre of Prague this morning, according to police estimates, though student leaders put the figure at 10,000. The marches are part of an ongoing week of protests organised by students against proposed government education reforms. Prague students were joined by their compatriots from across the country, reports Čertéka, and marched from Rudolfinum to the offices of the Czech government in the centre of the city. Tuesday saw around 6,000 students demonstrating in the city of Brno, while protests also took place in Hradec Králové, České Budějovice, Ostrava and Plzeň. Specifically, the students are seeking that Czech Education Minister Josef Dobeš reject current reform proposals, which students believe both reduce the autonomy of education institutions and shift the burden of funding higher education to students. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has reacted to Wednesday's ongoing student protests by stating that the government will negotiate not only with teachers but also students over its controversial plans to reform the Czech education system. The PM also noted that student protests were an entirely normal matter in a free country and that negotiations with all interested parties, including students, will, in his words, bring about positive changes in the Czech education system. Nečas also confirmed that students and government officials did not meet Wednesday during protesters march on the main offices of the Czech government in Prague because, he noted, the cabinet was in a meeting at the time of the protests. A truck has collided with a passenger train near the Czech town of Podbořany, west of Prague. Reports suggest the incident occurred at a train crossing at 2:15 Wednesday. Fire and rescue services were immediately dispatched to the scene. Two people travelling inside the train are believed to have been injured in the crash, with reports suggesting that one wagon was completely overturned by the collision and is now resting on its side. According to local authorities, investigators will seek to determine whether signalling equipment, which should have alerted the truck driver of the approaching train, was working properly. The Czech government has approved a strategy ahead of the upcoming EU leaders' summit on Thursday, in which it will continue to oppose the concept of a fiscal union in Europe. The news was confirmed following a meeting of the cabinet on Wednesday. According to PM Petr Nečas, the coalition government has agreed that the end result of the EU summit will not involve a Czech signature on any pan-European plan to create a fiscal unity pact, primarily designed to stabilise the euro and bind governments towards fiscal responsibility. However, Nečas noted that the door remained open for future Czech agreement and urged other participating countries to move on without his country. Of the EU27, 25 countries have agreed to sign the fiscal pact. The two holdouts are the United Kingdom and the Czech Republic, both not members of the Eurozone. The Czech Republic is seeking to purchase a number of US-made F-16 fighter jets, according to emails from the private security company Stratfor, published this week by WikiLeaks. According to the emails, the Czech Republic is seeking to create a pool of 6 Central European countries that would make a bulk purchase of the fighter jets and thus lower the overall costs. Specifically, an October 2011 email asserts that the Czech ambassador to the United States and his security attaché are seeking to purchase the aircraft instead of Swedish-made Gripen jets, but stated that the current asking price was too high. It proposes that Romania, Slovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria and perhaps Poland pull together to purchase a total of 85 fighters. In February, the Czech government decided that it will continue to have a supersonic military air force beyond 2015, the date that the lease on its current Gripen fleet is set to end. And a quick look at the weather. Mild and cloudy conditions continue across much of the Czech Republic, with temperatures falling slightly from 11 degrees Celsius to 7 degrees Celsius by the weekend. However, clearer skies are expected by Friday. And that's the news.
Hello. Hello and welcome. You have tuned in to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, an analyst comments on the finance minister's austerity plan for 2013, and we bring you news of a fresh survey that has found that obesity, smoking, and alcohol consumption are on the rise among Czech adolescents. And then later on in the program, for Spotlight, we go to a famous mountain just outside of Prague, and that mountain has played an important role in Czech history. All that coming up, so do stay with us. The finance minister's austerity plan for 2013, which includes far-reaching measures to increase state revenues and cut public spending, has raised an outcry from the opposition benches, with the leader of the opposition Social Democrats, Bohuslav Sobotka, saying his party would table a vote of no confidence in the three-party center-right coalition. While the finance minister's proposal is now being debated by the three ruling parties and may undergo fundamental changes, it has sparked plenty of controversy. Some critics say that the proposed austerity measures will stifle economic growth rather than incite it. Others claim the government should reform the public sector rather than impoverishing people living on a low income. Radio Prague asked former finance minister and Raiffeisen Bank's chief analyst, Pavel Mertlík, what measures he would have proposed under the circumstances. Daniela Lazarová spoke to him.
Definitely, I would similarly as a government elaborate with changes in the personal income tax, and some increase of value added tax is, I think, still reasonable, but I'm not sure about the 20% level. It seems to me to be quite high, and with exception of Denmark, it will be probably the highest value added tax in Europe with single rate. What is the most necessary thing is definitely some act on the status of public employees with appropriate human resources management and things like that. This is not systematic in the Czech Republic, and because of that we don't have appropriate work incentives in the public sector. And second point, which is very important certainly, is the management of public expenditures, and particularly, I mean, central procurement, which is missing. And the typical prices for which government buys products and services from private sector are tenths of percent higher than what is a standard in the private sector among companies. So to come with cutting pensions is quite absurd in a country where it's visible from anecdotal evidence you can see in the press how mismanaged is the government and that the situation is worsening.
So although individual ministries say they are barely able to operate now and have been cut down to the bone, so to speak, you feel that the public sector, the state sector, is still squandering money?
Definitely.
Which of the proposed measures would you say are completely counterproductive?
What I see as, I would say, crazy is, for example, the cut of the birth benefit, which per se is not so huge. It's 300 million Czech crowns in a year, but it's just another step in the changes in the policies via young families, and definitely the young families will be one of the victims of these changes together with pensioners. And in a country which has huge problems with level of natality, and apparently over the last 4 or 5 years most of the reforms were counterproductive from the point of view of some demographic situation, I think this is something where we are undercutting the future.
Pavel Mertlý, chief analyst of the Raiffeisen Bank, was talking to Radio Prague's Daniela Lazarová about the far-reaching austerity plan for 2013. And of course, that is something that affects many countries across Europe, so we'd be very curious to hear your take on austerity measures, and you can share your opinions either by email to english@radio.cz, or of course, if you would like to post a comment on our Facebook wall, do find us on Facebook and get in touch. Thank you very much, Daniela, for that report. And now we move to the area of health and health behavior. Czech researchers from the University of Olomouc have made a significant contribution to the latest health behavior of school-aged children research study. Sadly, its conclusions point to a worrying trend. Czech adolescents and their counterparts across Europe are living an increasingly sedentary lifestyle. As a result, obesity, drug abuse, and smoking among those aged 18 and under are on the rise. I spoke to one of the Czech researchers involved in this international study, Michal Kalman.
The main aim of the HBSC study, which is the health behavior of school-aged children research study, is to increase understanding of young people's health and well-being and the health behavior in their social context. So the main areas are physical activity, obesity, risk behavior, and other terms of active living.
And what were the main findings with school-aged children here in the Czech Republic that your study found?
Well, the main findings are there is significant decreasing the level of physical activity. We can also say that the level of sedentary behavior is increasing, and the sedentary behavior is positively associated with smoking, alcohol drinking, obesity, anxiety, and depression.
And what reasons do you think are behind this worrying trend? What has changed in the past years or decades that children are more and more taking on this unhealthy lifestyle?
We are less active, we are eating more and more unhealthy food, and we are sitting more and more in front of computers, chatting with our friends, using social media, and that causing obesity in the Czech Republic. And it is not problem just in the Czech Republic, it is problem in all over the Europe, it's problem in all over the world. So that's why we are conducting this HBSC study, to actually find out what are the reasons that the physical activity is decreasing, why the level of physical activity is more decreasing among girls than boys, why the we can also clearly see that the level of obesity, if we compare the previous years, so the level of obesity in the Czech Republic is really increasing. So it's becoming a very serious topic.
And lastly, last question, how did the Czech Republic fare in comparison to other European countries? Are there areas in which we are significantly worse off, or how was that?
More or less, we are quite average. If I have a look on the level of obesity or level of physical activity, we are quite average. But if I compare it with previous years, we were much better. So it means the trends are that the Czech adolescents are getting worse.
Michal Kalman, one of the Czech researchers behind a fresh survey of risky behavior among school-aged children here in the Czech Republic, was talking to me a little earlier today. Now, in this week's Spotlight, Christian Falvey takes us to the mountain of Žip, just outside of Prague.
What are the origins of the Czechs? Where did they start out? The cultural anthropologist would tell you there's no clear answer, but the patriot would tell you the answer is as clear as day, or in the case of the Czechs, as clear as a mountain. a famous hill outside of Prague that has played a special role in the history of Czechs, called Rip. Once you have climbed the 300 meters or so to the top of Rip, the first thing you see is a cottage, a pub of course, on the side of which is a well-known phrase. What Mecca is to Mohammed, Rip is to a Czech. Jiří Vovés is the custodian of the mountain and has spent his entire life there in a village below the hill called Mětěš.
That inscription was thought up by another fellow from around here, a big patriot like all of us who are from here. It couldn't be otherwise. And he originally burnt it into a piece of wood. Sure, it doesn't make much proper sense if you think about it, but everyone gets the point. For every nation there should be something sacred, and for Czechs that sacred place is Rip.
Pro Čechy je posvátnej Rip.
So what is it that makes this ancient hill, actually an extinct volcano, so unique, aside from the beautiful views, the endemic flora, and its striking appearance? Martin Zubík of the National Heritage Institute told me the story that young Czechs learn on their grandfather's knee.
According to legend, Rip was the one hill which our forefather Czech visited long, long ago. It is said that Czech was a prince or a duke in Croatia when he made some crime. He murdered someone, so he had to leave the land with his tribe, with his closest people. The tribe wanted to find their Canaan, their home. And forefather Czech one day climbed the hill, and then he looked around himself, and according to legend, he saw the beautiful, beautiful land, so he told to his people that they are at home, and the tribe called the land Czech.
The land of milk and honey was a land of heavy rain and fog when I visited, but even then there was no doubting what makes the place so very special. Rip is one of the first large hills, it's called a mountain, outside the so-called Prague Basin. On the clearest of days you can make out Liberec near the northern border. And on days like this, the tall hills or low mountains of the central Bohemian range poke out of the fog, surrounded by swaths of green and yellow fields. This was good enough for forefather Czech, whose descendants today say that he was simply too lazy to keep looking for a spot on the sea. But he was not the only one on the trek.
Part of the story was that when Czech started his journey from Croatia, he took with him his brother Lech, and some say that there was another brother, Mech. And when they came here, Czech with his brothers, Czech stayed, but brother Lech went to north, and he created or settled Poland, and Mech, according to legend, Russia.
Poland today is still known as Lechia in some languages, and Poles like Lech Kaczynski and Lech Wałęsa carry on his memory today. It's a legend that was long in the making, and it has been modified and added to again and again. In one interpretation, Czech is Lech. Sounds strange, but it's thought that Lech may have been a title for a prince, and that it was later misunderstood to mean two different people. In any case, the original story was quite different, as Mr. Zubík explains.
This legend first, it appeared in the 12th century. The first chronic, Czech chronic, from the monk Kosmas, he mentioned one leader of the tribe, Czech, but he didn't mention that he was on the hill. He just mentioned that there was one man and his tribe. The other chronics created the story, and it's obvious that this journey to the Holy Land is taken from Bible. In the legend there are many, many places that are very, very similar to some antique motifs from antique Rome.
Legends, it sometimes seems, are made to be debunked, and factual history, as far as fact can be untangled from fiction, is often a disappointment. The word Rip, for example, is merely an early Germanic word for hill, Rip, seemingly Czechified to the maximum. And where the name Czech comes from, nobody really knows. One theory is that it originally referred to military units, Četi. Then again, in mythology, there is often some grain of truth. The first Slavic settlements in the area that is now the Czech Republic may have been just to the south of Rip, and archaeology has shown that the hill was important, if not indeed sacred, to the Germanic and Celtic tribes that came before them. It was the Czech national revival, however, that brought the mountain to the peak of its fame. Whether or not Forefather Czech gave rise to the nation, it is thanks to the national revival that it is still here today, and Říp played a major role.
This mountain, this hill, its importance grew in 19th century because we were a part of Austria monarchy, and also Czech was part of the Holy Roman Empire. So the Czech people, they don't want to be German, they want to be Czech. And this symbol, Říp, and the forefather Czech, who gave the name of the nation, it was one of the greatest symbol in the country. So the importance grew in 19th century.
One of the greatest physical manifestations of the national revival was the National Theatre. Work on it began in the middle of the 19th century, and it was to be, and indeed became, a kind of temple of Czech culture. For such a great nationalistic endeavor, there was little doubt as to where to turn for a cornerstone.
In this time, Czech people wanted to have their own theater, now National Theater in Prague. They wanted to prove the national, prove itself worthy, that it can create its own theater where only Czech plays would have been played or acted. So the cornerstone was taken from the hill Říp. And there was a celebration, many people went with the stone to Prague.
Říp has obviously always drawn the special attention of those settling nearby for its singular appearance, sticking out of the landscape as it does, like a hat, a bullet head, a bell, or many other things by which it has been variously described. But there is more to Říp than meets the eye. Aside from its striking appearance, another reason why the mountain may have been considered important or even sacred since ancient times is a special property that old forefather Czech or anyone else in his time would have known about, if not fully understood. Jiří Voves again.
Je to magnetická hora. Je to železná hora.
It's a magnetic mountain, an iron mountain, nephelenite, olivine magnetite, lodestone, and so on. That's not much magnetite to mine for, but it's enough to draw lightning, and when it does, it's such a whack that you hear it for 5 minutes. But people are brainless and they walk around with metal umbrellas anyway. There are places where you can feel it in your fingers. People think I'm crazy when I tell them why, but it's true. Telephone, television, and internet transmissions often don't work, and planes flying over the mountain can have problems with their navigation systems.
The main victim of the lightning storms on Říp is the Romanesque rotunda of St. George that sits upon its peak.
This rotunda was, as we can see it now, was built in 12th century. It was the Duke Sobieslav I. The mountain Říp, the hill Říp, it was a sacred place since, it has been a sacred place since people lived here. It is said, it is written that there was a wooden, some wooden building, and in the 12th century was built this structure. It was built from stone because the Duke, he won one battle nearby, and he wanted the people here to remember his victory, and so he built this rotunda.
Aside from being a lovely work of Romanesque architecture, in fact one of the last of its kind made in Europe before the onset of the Gothic style, the rotunda's sacred nationalist position on Říp makes it a popular destination for weddings and christenings, a kind of pilgrimage point for some Czechs, religious and otherwise. Fittingly, the word for pilgrimage in Czech, pout, is the same as the word for fair or carnival, and the biggest event of the year held on Říp is the Řípské pouti, both pilgrimage and carnival.
Pak jsou tady ty Řípské poutě.
The Reap Fair, that's a huge tradition. It means an extreme amount of visitors, sometimes 70,000, sometimes more, with stands and activities all along the paths to the mountaintop and beneath it. And it depends on the weather. If it's bad, there are less. But people will come to Reap in any case, because a Czech who has never been to Reap has never really lived.
Kdo nebyl z Čechů na Řípu? No ten jako by nežil.
That That was a spotlight by Radio Prague's Christian Falvey. This edition first aired in July 2009. And now that brings us to the end of our regular weekday programming, but of course we're rounding it off with our popular Czech language learning series ABC with Pavla Horáková.
Czech from Head to Toe is back, this time to take a closer look at one of the most vital organs in the human body, the heart. Although the heart is primarily responsible for keeping up the circulation of blood in our bodies, in popular opinion, the heart,
srdce,
is the center of all emotion. We love with all our heart.
Milujeme celým srdcem.
And we thank people from the bottom of our heart.
Z celého srdce.
If someone doesn't care about something too much, they do it lightheartedly.
S lehkým srdcem.
And perhaps their heart is not in it.
Nedávají do toho srdce.
On the other hand, if people care too much, they take things to heart.
Berou si to k srdci.
We make unpleasant decisions with a heavy heart.
S těžkým srdcem.
And sometimes we can't even make them, because we simply don't have the heart.
Nemáme to srdce.
When we are nervous, expecting something unpleasant, we say,
Mám srdce až v krku.
Literally, my heart is in my throat. In these situations, English speakers have their heart even higher up, in the mouth. When the difficult situation is over and people feel a great relief, they say,
Spadl mi kámen ze srdce.
Which literally means, a stone has fallen off my heart. When we are in love or in trouble, we often want to pour our heart to somebody.
Vylít si srdce.
And have a heart-to-heart talk.
Od srdce si popovídat.
Especially if that person has a heart of gold.
Má zlaté srdce.
About such kind people, we also say they have their heart in the right place.
Mají srdce na pravém místě.
Or
nosí srdce na dlani.
They carry their heart in the palm of their hand. Or in proper English, they wear their heart on their sleeve. And that's all for today's episode. But don't forget that on our website, www.radio.cz, you can read or listen to our previous lessons to your heart's content. Until next time,
nashledanou!
Pavla Horáková with ABC wrapping up Radio Prague's English broadcast for today. But of course, we would very much appreciate if you shared your thoughts on what you've heard on the show today, either via email, the address here is english@radio.cz, or of course, you can find us on Facebook, and there you can quickly type a comment and let us know what you like and what you don't like. And if you prefer good old-fashioned letters, the postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And I, for one, must say that I very much enjoy when we get actual mail from our listeners. As always, everything you've heard on the program is online. You can find it at our website, radio.cz. There you can also discover our huge archive, which features past reports and features in both text and audio form. And if you'd like to be up to date as far as the news are concerned, you can sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. Well, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for listening, and bye-bye.